Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing so well. And yourself?
I'm really excited about the sunshine.
I know.
Finally.
Oh, we're such Californians, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I guess people in Florida must feel the same way. I don't know, all of us with our reputations for sunshine and at complete inability to deal with anything else.
Yes.
I think about a few years ago we had a monk who came to us from training in Japan and talked about, sitting and living in about 16 degrees.
Wow.
You know, that season of the year. And how it was just how it was.
Wow.
Nobody considered heat or any of those kinds of things. When it's cold, it's cold. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And at the monastery where I trained, it was the same way. The meditation hall had no air conditioning, and it was a tiny little building that we were in. So in the winter, it was just whatever the temperature was outside, it was at least that cold or that hot inside.
Yes.
And it's good. We get spoiled and kind of flimsy and weak when we get used to having the temperature always match our desires.
Yes.
Yeah, and the sunshine is grand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It reminds me of that phrase, seeking better accommodation.
Exactly, which is just such a disastrous habit for anybody who wants to end suffering. Because once we start down that road of, I want it this way, okay, well, I need it this way, and, you know, that's the direction, right? We go quickly from, I want this to I need this, because I want this, who cares? But I need this, we get a lot more mileage out of that. So
right.
We start down that track of always letting conditioned mind always find what's wrong and come up with a solution for it. And then, of course, because conditioned mind is the world of something wrong and not enough, it's on a mission.
Yeah.
And we can, with a little practice, be utterly miserable no matter what our circumstances are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's always good to just have a little check-in and realize that we're a lot tougher than conditioning would like us to believe we are. And also, as we're fond of pointing out, it's always good to take better care of ourselves than conditioning would have us take.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, of course, getting what I want is not necessarily, or we could even say is rarely, taking care of me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Interesting. Sherry, this is a call-in talk show, and we have three callers.
That is so good, isn't it?
That's good.
I wonder if it's because we have three lines or something. Because often at this time on the show, we have three callers.
Oh, I see.
So I don't know if that's just how life works or
yeah.
There are, you know, like five lines.
Yeah.
One
I think there are more lines.
For me.
And who knows?
Yeah. Well, we may never know.
I'd like to welcome Greta from Washington State. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are things in Washington State?
Well, that's why I called. I'm actually very excited.
Oh, good.
Well, the one reason I called is because I have been listening to the archives, and I realized that I hadn't called in almost a year. So I was sort of ashamed of myself.
Kind of horrified to realize that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it's been an interesting year of really spending a lot of time in conditioned mind.
Ooh.
And so at the end of the year, I had kind of made my New Year's resolution, and a couple of email class opportunities, yours and another one called Awakening Joy, came up. And I signed up for both of those, and I just said, you know, I've got to do something different because this way isn't working for me. And
this,
so I...
This being in
being
conditioning.
In conditioning, yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm calling to report just kind of going 180 degrees in the opposite direction. It's really meshing with our class assignment from Creating the Universe today. And in that, I'm finally getting a glimpse of what is possible.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I've been doing is almost nonstop listening to the archives of this show, which has been really helpful to have a different conversation.
Yes, than the one that is so eager to take place in your mind, say?
Yes,
uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And somehow that... There's something about listening for me and processing in that way that helps me really get it.
Yes.
I can read things, but it doesn't quite come through as much as hearing.
Uh-huh.
And I had I was listening on the way home, and one of the things that you mentioned in an archive was the idea of seeing something. You know, you have an alternative to conditioned mind, which is often just an absence. And yet, with the email class today and with my experiences more recently, there is an alternative that's not just an absence. It's actually creating a very rich possibility.
Yes. Yes. Now, of course, following along with the class, you know that an awful lot of people approach this notion. Well, first, of course, we hear the voices in our head, right? That and that's huge because once you hear it, you know, the first thought is, how did I miss that? And yet we do for a long time. And so we hear the voices and great, and then we practice, and there's the suggestion that we could live without the voices. And, of course, the voices just panic and start shrieking about what would it be like without, you know, without us. You know, there it would be boring. It would be joyless. It would be because those are the two choices. Either live in this world of conditioned thought and the voices or fall off into the void where there's nothing going on. There's just empty space in your head. And of course, those are not the two choices at all.
Well, and the other thing, I guess, is maybe that it's kind of akin to addiction because you talk about our addiction to the voices of conditioning.
Yes.
That, you know, like someone who has an alcohol problem or whatever, I kind of believed for a really long time that I could just listen some of the time.
Oh, yes. I can handle this.
Right.
Yeah, or the way it's usually presented, of course, is, oh, you can handle this. Now, come on, you don't need to go through, don't be ridiculous.
Right.
And that's for losers.
And now what I'm finding out, and this is very recent, but I'm, like I said, I've gone 180 degrees, so I've got the headphones on my ears. I've got the email class, and I'm writing. I'm doing all the other things that are trying to improve my health, and it's there's no halfway possibility, and that's what I mean. That is what I have to say. You know, you can't just dip your toe in. If you're going to save yourself and make, you know, make a change, you really have to go, you have to make that commitment that it's going to be different.
Yeah, because just when you said that, I got an image of somebody who, for whatever reason, they're out there in the deep water, and they can see the shore, but it's a distance. And the voices are saying, well, just float. You know, just tread water, and it's really bad advice, because of course, what the person needs to do is start swimming toward shore. Now, there may be some times of just floating to rest. Yes, absolutely, but it'll be part of a larger picture than being talked into just staying out there treading water until finally you drown.
Right, you really do have a hand in ending suffering.
Yes.
It's not just going to happen passively.
Exactly. In fact, as you're pointing out, it's not just have a hand in it. You've got to roll up your sleeves, get both hands in there,
right,
and know that you're going to work harder than you've ever worked in your life.
Right.
The good thing about it, the part that the voices, of course, don't want people to get, is that as soon as you turn that corner, as soon as you make that commitment, your life starts working, and you start feeling better, and you're happier, and you're plugged in, and life is exciting, and you're feeling joy. And because the only thing making life not work is those voices.
Right, and of course I'm getting one that says, well, you've been here before, and you fell back.
Oh, absolutely.
And it, you know.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody earlier who revealed the voice that's familiar. You've been doing this for how long? And this is where you are?
Right.
And, of course, the answer to all those voices is yes. Yes, I've been doing it this long, and this is where I am. Yes, that is true.
And we're always on the path, and we're just putting
And we're always going. And every time we stop to have an argument with the voices, to feel bad about what they're saying, to engage with them in the sense of figuring out whether what they're saying to us is true or not. So you've been doing this for this long, and this is where you are? And that's supposed to mean stop.
Right.
Which is just nuts. It's like, you know, you get in your car and you're going to drive from Washington State to New York, and a boy says to you somewhere out in Nevada, well, would you go, Wyoming, this is all the farther you are? And that means you're supposed to turn around and go back home?
Right.
You know? So getting used to the fact that what those voices are always going to do is try to undermine us, try to talk us out of it, try to make us feel bad, ashamed, stupid, foolish. They're going to call us names. They're going to threaten us with everything. And that's just what goes on. And the only thing that we've got going for us, which is the biggest of all possible things, is it's our lives, right? We're the one who has the life. We have the body. We have the attention, and we can turn our attention to anything we want to turn it to. And as soon as we turn it away from them, they have absolutely no power at all.
And I'm really seeing that as the possibility now. And and that was why I called, was because I'm so grateful that despite my coming and going and coming and going, the practice is still here.
Isn't it marvelous? So there, 2,500 years ago, the Buddha was doing it, and of course, he was practicing with people, because the oldest thing that I personally have ever had in my hands is 4,000 years old, and in this document, they're doing awareness exercises.
Huh.
You know, 4,000 years ago, people were doing the basically the same kind of awareness exercises that we're doing today. And they got it from somewhere.
Right.
So forever, not that 4,000 years is forever, but for us it's a doggone long time, people have been doing this. And we just, you know, we just step onto the path, and we join this people mover, going from suffering to joy and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a glorious thing. We're very, very, very fortunate people.
Well, I have this image of you in my mind as I'm reading the email class or listening to the archives, that you're like this perpetual cleaning person who is just leaving no stone unturned and no speck of conditioning is allowed to remain unquestioned. So I don't know where it came from, but it was just like you're relentless in your pursuit of sweeping conditioning away, you know, revealing for what it is.
I like that.
Me too.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Tracy from Colorado. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Tracy! Are you there? Uh-oh.
Tracy. Tracy from Colorado. Can you hear us? Are you there, Tracy?
She'll be back.
She'll be back, I hope. I was told she was going to be here on the screen. Let's see if we have another caller.
We have three.
Yeah, we did have three. Okay, I'd like to welcome Carolyn from Denver. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The lines may be shaky between us and Colorado.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. So, yeah, I do not have any info as of yet, Sherry.
You know, technology is just a grand and glorious thing right up until it doesn't work, huh?
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, here we are. We're talking to people all over the country. People are listening all over the world. It's just fabulous. And then, boop, it's all gone. Just you and me, kid.
Yes, yes. That's exactly my experience as well. And to me, what's interesting about it is the sort of assumption that comes with it, that
yeah,
things are going to work?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And how shocked and kind of offended we can be when it doesn't go the way we expect it to go.
Yes.
Just like everything in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello? Hey, I think we have Tracy.
I hear Tracy.
Oh, yeah. You hear me?
Yes.
I could hear the two of you just talking away. And yeah, I'm talking to my dog.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing good, and I really just need to check in because something is going on, and I just need to check in on it. And what's going on is, you know, at the monastery, I remember having the experience of, gosh, you know, you kind of get to the place where, you know, you feel really expansive in your heart, and you're sharing it, and then, you know, hearing kind of prepare for the backlash.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm experiencing is that in relationship, the content is, I met this guy who lives out of state, and he was in Colorado, so we just got together and spent a day together, and it was this really just sweet day, you know, just really present and, you know, great sharing, and it just felt really, like it just was from a very present place. And then he got home and called and said that, you know, started doing this, like, I need to make it clear that I am not available, you know, and I need to be isolated in my little house, and I need to be able to play, you know, internet chess when I need to da-da-da-da-da. And kind of went on to even say that, like, even the way that I get excited just about life just felt like a little bit much to him. And I kind of got off the phone, and I wasn't sure if I should cry or laugh because it felt like, oh, my gosh, there's, like, you know, there was such a sweet kind of connection that felt it like it came from the heart, and then this conversation felt like it came totally from conditioning. And so, you know, thank God for practice, because all I did was reflect back what I heard him say and, you know, not take it personally and you know, no, it didn't have anything to do with me. It was just this conditioning wanted totally nothing to do with me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it's not like... the
whole thing was just, we project just way too close to center.
Yeah. And Sherry, it's happened three times, and well, it's been three times in the last 2 years. It's like you know, kind of meet someone and you spend a day together, and then it's all of a sudden this conditioning just wants nothing, like, to do with interacting with me, and so part of it is, like I said, part of it is, like, I kept biting my lip, like, oh, my God, I'm going to laugh. Like, this is kind of funny. And then, you know, the other part is, you know, I'm getting more and more, like I've heard you say, like, this practice is not popular. Or there's not that many people that are really that interested in it.
Yeah.
And then that part starts getting a little bit like...
So what are my future chances here?
What are my future chances? And I thought, oh, my gosh, it makes total sense to be a monk, because then you can just do this, and then, you know, you don't have to, like, deal with trying to have a relationship, because then you don't have to, yeah. So it was like, I thought, oh, gosh, you know, the service work totally makes a lot more sense, because it seems to, like, you can just keep walking away from that.
Well, you can have those open-hearted relationships with all kinds of people.
With all kinds of people. Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, who want to have those kind of open-hearted relationships.
Right.
But when we get into personal relationships, it gets a little more challenging, because sometimes a person wants to be open-hearted, and then sometimes a person wants to play chess.
Right.
And conditioning often sees those two things as mutually exclusive.
Right, and so, like, to me, it feels like, I mean, all I can really do is just reflect this person and still be kind and loving, and that's really all that we can do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the relationship is, that's all that we can do.
That's all that we can do.
Because, say, this had happened 6 months into a relationship.
Yeah.
It's still all you can do. You know, what we're conditioned to do is turn around and go, oh, I made a big mistake with you, and, you know, start figuring out how to extricate oneself from the connection. And yet, in any relationship, sooner or later, it's going to come to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship to have that happen. You know, I've had that relationship with thousands of people. You know, where it's wonderful, and there's an awareness honeymoon going on, and then conditioning gets really threatened, and suddenly, you know, I'm Satan's bride, and you know, they want to be anywhere other than in relationship with me, doing what it is that we're doing.
Sure, and the last thing you want to do is point to anyone's conditioning. You just want to reflect it, not engage it,
yes.
Not. That's all you can do, right?
Yep. Because when we are caught in conditioning,
right,
it's just not going to be well received to have someone point at our conditioning. Now, when we make it back to center, of course, you know, then we can look around and go, it's kind of what Greta was talking about. You know, I've been away from myself for a while. But when we're in the throes of it, to have it pointed out to us, oh, no.
Not such a good thing.
Not a good idea.
It's funny, like, at the end of this conversation, I was really just reflecting, and he said, I just feel so bad that I'm letting you down. And I said, oh, you feel really bad you're letting me down. And then he said, oh, maybe I'm letting myself down.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of thought, it's amazing how... I guess the only way that they're going to lead themselves back is by leading themselves back.
Yeah.
No one else can really do that for them.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's wonderful that we can share our lives with all kinds of people, but the Buddha was very clear. You must work out your own salvation diligently.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to work out your own salvation hand in hand with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can be hand-in-hand with somebody, and you can be working out your own salvation diligently.
Sure.
But we're not going to go two by two.
Sure. Yeah. And so I guess that the whole key is to not take it personally, don't engage it, and just be concerned about my own salvation.
Exactly. You use it all for your own practice.
Yeah, use it all.
And then all we can feel is gratitude for whatever we have an opportunity to share with somebody.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Good. Well, I just thought, like, gosh, you know, I've seen backlash, you know, on myself.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to see backlash, like, coming from another person.
Yes.
And so I thought kind of like, whoa, this is really, like, this is kind of like, it's interesting.
Yeah. And again, as I say, you know, being somebody who's been around practice for a few years, you know, when I first started out, I would think if somebody had a great opening, you know, some sort of moment of clarity or that, boy, you know, they are really, talk about firmly on the path, and I would never see them again.
Yeah.
And after a while, I got it that, you know, a great opening doesn't necessarily result in what I would think a great opening would result in. It could go anywhere.
Sure. And that's like that word willingness just comes to mind, you know? Like and it also comes to mind, like it almost feels like if a person really hasn't suffered enough in their own conditioning, then why, like, to have a great opening here and there is plenty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we know that in ourselves for a long time. That can be plenty. I have a great opening, and then, you know, I go off for whatever period of time, sometimes years, and kind of run with that. And then we seem to get to, you know, this seems to be a common theme with humans. We once again step in a hole that we can't get out of, and then we start looking around and going, oh, wait a minute. I thought I had something figured out about this, or, you know, I think I need to. I was just talking to a fellow over the weekend about it. You know, he said, you know, 4 years ago, I was in the same exact place. And I said, and what did you do? And he went through this whole list of things that he had decided to do to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I could just reflect that back and say, well, kind of sounds like a good plan. And off he went to do that same, you know, kind of program again. And sadly, that's what happens to a lot of us. We practice when we're suffering, and then when we're no longer at such an acute stage of suffering, then the voices come in and talk us out of practice, and we start down that slope again into a place of misery. We hit the bottom of the place of misery and say, huh, you know, I think I need to start taking care of myself or paying attention, or maybe that meditation practice would be a good thing to take up again. And if we're really lucky, it doesn't take us too awful many of those before we realize when the voices start talking us out of practicing that we don't want to do that.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't work. It's like, only exercising when you've put on 10 pounds. It's just not a good life plan.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, I'm just like, I'm so grateful for practice because it feels like, you know, even blips of not practicing feel like just really life just is not very much fun. That's how I can always tell, like, okay, where are you?
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, so happy that they're, like, I can call in and talk about this and know that, you know, like, there are people that are interested in something other than conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody is interested in something other than conditioning. In that sense that probably nobody that we would find would say, yeah, well, where I'm really going with this is maintaining an ego identity that is pretty much on the edge or in suffering all the time so that I can remain the most important thing in my universe. Okay, so what I'm really interested in, what the voices tell me I'm interested in, is all the things I'm interested in. So I want to pursue my career, and I want relationships, and I want to go to interesting places, and I want to, you know, I have my hobbies, my projects, and all of this. And so the connection, it takes a long time for us to make the connection that if we don't do those things that we want to do from center, those things ultimately will be a source of suffering for us.
Yeah.
So people confuse needing to go off into conditioning in order to do the things they want to do, and without realizing that, that putting those two things together is the source of suffering. So to come back to center and realize, yes, I want to pursue a career, I want to have relationships, I want to have my interests and hobbies, and I want to travel, and I want to whatever it is, and I want to do it all from center.
Right, right.
I want to be in conscious, compassionate awareness as I do all of these things.
Right.
That's a life of joy.
Sure. And I just, that stands out so, I'm so glad that you said that, because I remember in my calling about suffering with my job, you know, the question is, well, who does your job? Like, who shows up to do your job?
Yeah.
And it'd be a great question for me, who shows up in relationship, who shows up, you know, yeah, as I plan going somewhere.
Yeah, and it can be disappointing because, you know, if a person wants to have a life partner,
yeah,
you know, it's difficult to say, well, you know, I would rather wait for the right person,
yeah,
so that I can be in relationship from conscious compassion awareness, rather than just grabbing somebody and living in conditioned mind and egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate and suffer together. Because, you know, what I want is to be in relationship. And so it looks like if I wait around to be able to do this from center, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's, once again, those are just the voices of conditioning talking to us about something wrong and not enough.
Oh, yeah, yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's true with all content. You know, I want a career that I find really exciting and that's lucrative and makes me feel like I'm making a positive difference in the world. But the voices are telling me I'm never going to have that. That I can't have a career from center that accomplishes all of those things that I want from center. And so we're always in that, you know, always at that kind of, what do you call it? Like a crossroads or a...
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the board pinnacle kind of like at the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good luck out there.
Thank you. It was so good to call in.
Yeah, glad
really,
you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night, Terry. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Good night, Tracy. Good morning, it's Tracy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have two more callers.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Carolyn from Denver. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good, and I've discovered an exciting new benefit of calling in.
What's that?
Well, I listen to Open Air every chance I get on Tuesdays. But it's the end of the day, and it's right before dinner, and usually my energy is kind of low, and sometimes I get kind of sleepy and don't feel like I'm paying as much attention as I would like to.
Uh-huh.
But in calling in, I decided, I think about an hour before the show, that I would call in tonight.
Ooh.
And ever since then, I've had a nice adrenaline buzz. I haven't been sleepy at all.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is a good technique.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course I get messages about how awful it is and how scared I am, but it's really just kind of a nice buzz.
Oh, sure. It's exciting. It's, you're alive. You're awake.
Yeah, I'm really awake.
Very good. So what's going on in life now that you're wide awake here?
Wide awake, yeah. I decided to call and hear your encouragement about a situation that I'm becoming more and more aware of. I call it a compulsion because it's something that I find I cannot not do.
Well, that sounds right then, huh?
Yeah, and it has to do with my calendar. I feel like a calendar addict. And like the good part, the useful part of the tool of a calendar is I am pretty organized. I get places on time, and I have what I need, and I remember people's birthdays and all that kind of stuff. But what I notice is all day long, little thoughts about my calendar and what I should put on it or what needs to be done or what didn't get done yesterday, they kind of pester me, and they interrupt other things. And they come with an urgency that I know is out of proportion to what the task is. And sometimes I really find myself putting down these little details that I tell myself they're inane as I'm putting them down, but it's like I can't not put them down.
And now I would imagine if we could interview the person who is directing this for you, what we would be told is that it's really helping you to do this. Right?
Yes, and there's all kinds of evidence, like remember that helpful thing you saw on your calendar yesterday that you otherwise would have forgotten? That sort of thing.
And so if it didn't come with urgency, then it actually is kind of a good thing in your life.
Yes.
It's that... Do you have to sort of stop whatever you're doing to attend to it, or does it yammer at you until you do attend to it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, something might come to me in the car on the way home, and it'll, like, repeat in my mind 20 times. You know, like, don't forget to put this on your calendar. It's that sort of thing.
Now, you know, there's a thing that you can get for your car for the truly obsessive compulsive. You know, it's a suction cup you put on your window so that you can make notes while you write. It hasn't talked you into getting one of those yet?
No, so I was just thinking that sounds dangerous. I don't even talk on a cell phone when I'm driving.
So, you know, one of the things that might be fun to play with about this is to essentially have what I'm describing to you. And what you do every time this happens, you know, don't forget that you need to pull over and write it down. Stop what you're doing and write it down.
Yeah.
And just see what happens. Just see what that does to it. So this would be like an experiment for a couple of weeks or something like that, or a month, and then you have to call us back and tell us what happened, okay? Years ago, years ago, 35 years ago, I had this old car. It wasn't that old then. It'd be really old now. And I would be driving down the road, and the information would come through, you need to check the oil. Well, I couldn't tell whether that was a legitimate piece of information. You know, it's kind of like whole mind giving me information that I need to have to take care of myself, or whether it's just some annoying little voice in there trying to interfere with my ability to be where I am and have to stop and deal with this other thing. And so, but I was nervous, too, about not doing what it said, because what if it was true, you know? What if I was going to do some sort of damage to the car? And so I just decided that I would do what it said every time it said it. And it was amazing how quickly it lost interest. Because what I found out is it was there just to basically throw a little, you know, unpleasantness into my good time. So if I was just going along being where I was, then here's something that will, you know, give that little adrenaline jolt and make me think that I need to do something and take me out of what I'm doing and
I have to do this other thing, and when am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? How am I going to remember to do that? What if I forget? And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just to go along with it and see what happens. Just, oh, thank you. Pull over. Write it down.
Wow. I would have never thought of that.
I know. I know. Because it sets us up not to think in that way. It sets us up to be in opposition to it. So it's doing this. It's obviously a problem. How do I solve the problem? And it's essentially, you know, I have this aspect of my personality. It's really annoying. How do I get rid of it? So one of my favorite saints is Saint Therese, the little flower. Do you know about her?
I don't.
Well, she went into the convent when she was very young, and her sister went in at the same time. They were very, very, very close. They're best friends. And so Saint Therese, now you know she had a lot going because she's Saint Therese.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we sense a deep spirituality. And so she, when they were in there in the convent, there was another sister that she just could not stand. And, of course, she saw that as a flaw in her character, being a sincere sister and all. And so she decided that she was going to make this her project and that she was going to learn to love this woman. And so she went on a campaign, and she succeeded to the point that her own biological sister was jealous of their relationship.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's taking, embracing something that conditioning would like us to perceive as a difficulty to, you know, just a whole different level. So instead of seeing it as a problem and going down conditioning's path of how to deal with this, instead to go in the direction of just loving it to pieces. Just embrace it until it is, all it wants to do is get away from you.
All right, this will be an interesting adventure.
Yeah, and of course, immediately, you know, the same voices that are saying, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, when you pull over and start writing things down, are going to go, you can't do this, you're going to be late. You're going to be pulling over off the road every 5 minutes. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they then argue against themselves.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's like that. He'll be talking about something, and I'll agree with him. And he'll immediately take the opposite position. And it drove me crazy until finally I caught on that that's what was going on. And so now I approach it like it's a tennis match. So he talks about something. I agree with him. He takes the opposite position. I agree with him. He takes the opposite position. And I've realized that it's possible to endlessly direct the conversation simply by agreeing with him.
Wow.
If I were in opposition to him, of course, then he would argue with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to step back and sort of get a sense of what the larger game is and
yeah.
then make your own choices about how you're going to approach it.
And do you have any encouragement for, like, other times when I'm involved with, you know, one task and 12 other tasks are pestering me to be
just
scheduled
stop
in?
Stop and write them down. Carry a pad with you. Carry a pad of paper with you all the time and a pen. Wear it around your neck. It'll drive them crazy.
Okay.
Get one, and then, you know, those things that you can pull it out, and then it retracts. You know, get this thing and pull it out, write it down, and then, you know, it'll make them crazy.
All right. It'll be interesting.
Let us know.
I will.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 8 or 10 minutes left, and we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Kim from Sacramento. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're very welcome. What's going on?
First of all, I'm very excited to be here. I'm really nervous, but I'm very thankful for everything I've learned through reading your books and doing a lot of work. And
it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it's so great to think of it as fun. You know, it's like, oh, I could think of this as fun. You know.
Yes. Yes.
I really recently I got off. I'm just a week off of my antidepressants, and so it's been an interesting journey. And I'm actually just really thankful that I have that. And I looked at and before I realized, you know, it was time to see what that's about. And I just looked at it and I was like, you know, this is my journey, and I'm gonna see what it's gonna be like. And
yeah. Now, may I ask you a little bit about that?
What's that?
May I ask you a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, how long had you been on antidepressants?
Almost 5 years.
Okay. And did you just one day stop, or
no? Okay. It's been you know, 2 or 3 months of kind of
smaller and smaller doses.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's do you have some support as you're going through this?
Uh-huh. For sure.
You have somebody that you talk to who's helping you through.
Yeah, I have a therapist and
good
husband and friends and
good. So everybody's kind of sort of like the homecoming game, right?
Oh,
They're all there on the sidelines going, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so something that I've has come up is, and it's just been a, you know, one of those things that my mind is going crazy with, is I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I'm really, you know, excited and just happy to be able to do that. But part of that is practice getting in tune with my anger, some anger issues that come up for me.
Who are the children?
I have two girls. They're almost 5 and 2.
Oh, wow.
So I've, you know, been at home with them for 5 years, and so, but I, you know, the anger comes up, and I'm able to, you know, it's not to a point, you know, where I'm losing control, obviously, but it's deep enough where I feel like, okay, this needs some serious uncovering, and I guess I'm just kind of like, Where do I go for here? Like, do I, and I, you know, I meditate, I'm practicing and doing those things, but I guess I feel really scared.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, you know, where is this coming from? And, you know, the mind, you know, obviously the mind keeps going, and, oh, it's this, and this is why you're angry, and it's a lack of sleep,
can I ask
you know.
Can I ask about that?
But I guess I just feel like I need a little tool or, you know, something.
Or a big tool.
Yeah, a big tool, exactly, a big tool.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you read the depression book that I wrote?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you know my theory about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
that now. Okay. Let's see. Where to start here? I've just rolled up my sleeves. Okay. So
okay.
I'm into this.
So,
what if it weren't anger?
Hmm.
In other words, what makes you think it's anger?
Well,
kill people.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much it?
Yeah.
I mean, does it come with images?
It's
violent.
It's a feeling of like I'm losing control.
Okay.
You know, and I think
what does that mean?
At a deeper level, it's like I'm losing control of my emotion, and I have, it's almost like, I know it's sadness, but it comes out as anger, you know, and it just feels like almost, it's just like sometimes it can just really just come out of the blue, and I'm like, why did I, you know, I drove, this is anger, and I try to be with it, but I guess I just get wrapped up about doing it.
But there's no content. You know, if that man doesn't start picking up his socks, I'm going to, it's not like that.
Well, sometimes it feels like it is, you know, it's like, it seems when I'm in the midst of, you know, like my girls are having a hard time listening to me, you know, and I'm like, okay, and I feel like I'm a repeated record, and I just feel like, okay, I'm getting angry because they're not doing something I want them to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So you're there and you're talking to them and you're telling them what needs to happen and they're not listening because you're the mother and they're kids and the mother's job is to tell them what they need to do and his job is to ignore parents. And so the energy level is just rising.
Right.
Right? It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're trying to keep it small because probably being a modern mother, you're of the school of, now I've told you 63 times that you need to, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's the energy, and it's just growing and growing and building, and you're trying to keep the energy at a certain manageable level that you feel good about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not able to keep it there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts you down the panic path.
Right.
Okay. Do you hear that music in the background?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
We have to talk next week.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Is that going to work? No, that's not going to work. We need to talk in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
All right? So
okay.
Here's the thing, though. Don't hang up yet.
Okay.
I want you to, during the next period of time, I want you to watch what happens to you and don't label it.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
So, not, I'm angry, I'm losing control. Just watch what happens to the energy in your body.
Okay.
All right? Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk again.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, good
thank
night.
You. Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. And thank you, Sherry.
Doggone it.
For a great show.
Yeah, that I can't wait till we continue that one.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Talk to you next week.
Good night.
Good night.